Welcome to the Echo and Encourage podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Abbott, and I am so excited to have a returning guest here with us today, my dad, Pastor John Abbott. Welcome, Pastor John. I'll call you dad for this. No, actually, I'll call you John. I'll call you John in this episode. And for our listeners, we are here with John today. John has been on the Echo and Encourage podcast for two other episodes so far. One was called How Joy and Humor Brings Perspective Plus Practical Ways to Positivity with Pastor John Abbott. And the other one is called Pastor John Abbott Introduction to Conflict Resolution and Spiritual Abuse. And during a recent episode, Emilian Gregor was on the show and he said, Pastor John, it's time for Spiritual Abuse Part 2 to come out. And yes, I acknowledge that it has been a whole season ago. So to our listeners, thank you for your patience as you've waited for us to reconnect and gather content stories for you. We appreciate your patience with us getting this episode together. We are so excited to have John here with us today. Welcome again, John.
I love you, baby. Thank you for having me. I want to be a little vulnerable with your audience, who is so sweet, by the way. You have a very sweet listeners because they write sweet things and honest things, and they're just very good connection that you're developing because you have a very good connection with your audience. So I appreciate that. I really wanted to come back but only after I really read a lot more, studied a lot more about narcissistic abuse, spiritual, emotional abuse. But I realized something. I think the most effective thing I could do in the moment is to share my story, my journey, and how I've coped, how I haven't done so well coping, how the effects of this kind of abuse and trauma. And then what I'm seeking for healing and what an appeal for churches and how they can deal with pastors who are hurting. So we have different kinds of abuse in our churches. And I mean the Christian world, not just my particular denominational faith. I mean, we have, unfortunately, there is child abuse of physical and sexual in the religious world, which is so heartbreaking. And we have emotional and physical abuse perpetrated by pastors. Pastors can be the source of spiritual and emotional abuse. But today, because of my journey, I could only speak about the journey I've had and my family has endured with me, the times when the pastor and their family are actually the victims of spiritual and emotional abuse in the church. And there's lots of resources and more open eyes to those who experience religious abuse at the hands of pastors. But when pastors and their families suffer this, that's not so easily dealt with. And I'm going to make later on, and I'm going to give some ideas and make an appeal about how we could better protect and help support pastors and their families, which you being the product of that, experiencing it, you would appreciate very much.
Yes.
And you're still with us in the trenches, even today, and you've been a blessing. But so let's begin. If it's okay, I'd like to give some vignettes of starting out in ministry and progressing from there. And would that be okay to start that way?
Yes, please.
All right. After my graduation, I spent a short time up in the mountains in a three church district. And that was an introduction to ministry, but someone wanted to live in my church district because they loved the mountains. So my administrators called me down to a beautiful place in Colorado. And while I was there, I was in charge of a smaller church that was attached to the larger church. And after a while, one man rose up in the middle of a church service and he said, "Everyone, do not listen to this pastor." I said, "What? Oh no, what's going on?" I was a new pastor. I was so young and new. I'm going, "Well, wow, what could I have possibly done?" He said, "This man has gone to one of our seminaries that no longer follows the straight and narrow path, and he's going to brainwash us into bringing what they call celebration worship and change our worship and bring drums and all this kind of stuff." Well, we had never talked about changing anything in worship, and they were very traditional, nice family church, and I had no plans to do anything, but that got the church going. And then they started, a man started reading a newspaper during the church service. And I'm not a control freak. He was our organist. I just let him sit there in the front row reading a newspaper. And I found out later while he was doing it, because I found out that more than half of the members of that church were secretly meeting, watching videos, because my name was at the top of a list of pastors who, while in seminary, had attended training that taught them how to hypnotize their church members. Well, that was so far from the truth. There was nothing like that happened, but they were afraid of me. They were afraid of getting hypnotized. They never asked me about it. And they just met secretly to learn how to defend themselves against my secret powers. And finally, a lady yelled at the top of her lungs between the church and the foyer, but it was right, and she faced the church. So everybody heard, she just yelled, "My daughter will never have Bible studies with you again," because we were in baptismal studies with her, because I don't want her hypnotized. And how evil and wicked can you be to do this to my daughter and to do this to us? She was yelling, screaming. And that was just a horrific nightmare, because I didn't even know where these people were coming from until after that. And I began to research. They wouldn't talk to me. I had to find out, why do they think I'm going to hypnotize them and all this stuff? Well, I found out later that someone had put my name on a list because I had attended these seminars at the seminary, but they did not teach these things at all to us. So my conference leadership moved me back to the main church, and which was good for everyone, though I didn't understand it. That is the time. What's that saying? The body keeps score?
Right. The body keeps score. That is a book over here on my bookshelf, and there's a lot of research behind that.
Well, it was during that time, Hannah, when I suddenly started becoming extremely fatigued, unable to recover from workouts, which I usually did. And I got so fatigued, I couldn't work anymore. And it was almost a year later, we discovered it was a thyroid issue, to make a long story short. But I believe it's possible the stress broke down my body, because I was under immense stress. And that week, that area of my body that was already not operating fully, that was a vulnerable point. So the body can keep score when we're under repeated stress and trauma. And I'm giving you the thumbnail sketch of some of these stories for time's sake. But that was my introduction, that church isn't necessarily the spiritual fun. Let's win souls for Jesus. Let's love each other and love people. I was very naive, I guess, I never expected anything like that to happen. I just wanted people to know Jesus, to love him, to love each other humbly, kindly. That's, I thought that's what the church was about. But now as a pastor, I learned the pastor can become the focal point despite his best efforts of wanting to share the message of love and doing my best to love. If they get ideas in their minds, they can run with them. And instead of working it out with the pastor, buy into those assumptions and beliefs and out of fear, strongly react against the pastor. So that was an introduction. Well, did you want to say something?
Yes. Just going off of that, I remember within, I think it was the last 5 years or so, I saw that list populate of your name on the list with other pastors who had attended that. And my initial thought was, first of all, why is another pastor posting this? Second of all, what is this rubbish? And I talked to you about it. And I think a lot of times in the church, people don't go and talk to the person they have a concern with. They just, you know, just start going off the deep end or yelling at you for no good reason. And that's really, really unbiblical, really sad. I remember we decided to just let that go and just, you know, dust our sandals, walk the other way. There's only so much time and energy we have to defending our space. And when we spend so much time and energy defending our space, it takes away from our resources to be in ministry and to heal our fight or flight system. And so there are these battles that pop up, but we don't always choose to engage with them. I think in our ministry and time together as a family, we tend to speak up when we have some encouraging words to give to a fellow person that's going through it, but we're not there to just always go and speak our mind and hold our space because we know God is our defender. And so I'm just so proud of you for living in that, that you know God is your defender, that he makes all things right. And I'm sad for all of the spiritual abuse you have been through. I'm also very honored to see how you've approached it and how you're being a spokesperson to make things better and to propose ways for conferences, churches, people in all denominations to take a much healthier approach than this toxic way of what they call ministry.
I really appreciate that perspective and your support, baby, because you after I got married and you came of age, you began to see things yourself, and it's hard for mom and dad to see their children be exposed to things, though we tried when you were young not to discuss things in front of you and Noah. These were our problems, and not you got such an age that you began to experience things yourself and saw you. It couldn't be hidden because you saw it openly, but we did try to be positive and not talk about the church problems when you were young, and I'm glad we approached it that way.
Me too. I remember being in that one article, Life in the Glass House, and I was the only person interviewed that was a child of a pastor or someone in ministry who had a really positive take on it, that I love being your daughter. I love being your daughter.
We had a fun time in ministry. And this is not to say that life is always this way in ministry. We've had glorious times in pastoring in our denominational faith. We're only talking about the particular problems that can happen in some churches with to some pastors, as we're focused on that. But it's not to say that this is every pastor's experience or every church. It's just, what are we going to do when it does happen? Yes. And so we'll keep it at that perspective. Before we get off that one church, my administrator saw there was no hope of reconciling the situation because they were so strongly into this pastor's teaching that they thought it best to move us. However, I lived with that I had the sense of failure. Oh, how did I failed this group, but I don't know what I could have done, but they didn't want to talk to me. And the conference said, it's best that you stay away because there's just venom. And they believe this pastor and his accusations. So there's no grounds for an honest discussion. Well, something neat happened. I moved out of state, and years later, I was asked to do a graduation ceremony for an academy, high school seniors graduating. And afterward, a couple ladies came up to me and said, do you remember us? I said, of course I do. How are you? They said, well, we're so glad we have this chance to see you. We want to apologize. We were part of that church that basically forced you out. And I've got to tell you, the man who stood up in church and interrupted the church service that day, claiming that I was going to bring in these terrible forms of worship, he admitted later after I left that he didn't know Jesus and he wanted the congregation to pray for him as he needed a real relationship with God. And she said, and the church and those videos they were watching, making all those claims, they said, we are so sorry. We know now that that was, they were conspiracy theories and we never should have turned against you and we should have worked it out. And she said, most of us, I think, if not all, have seen what we did and we're very sorry. And that was very healing. That's only happened once in my life. So that was beautiful. And I wholeheartedly accepted that and prayed for that man, always prayed for them. I never got mad at anyone who's abused me. I got, how can this be healed? How can we pray and always keep loving them and always keep showing respect? Conferences aren't equipped, and by design, by principle, aren't supposed to get so involved, intimately involved with the problems of a local church. They're designed to guide the pastors, to equip churches, help the churches in that area be equipped with their departments, like Sabbath school training, Pathfinder events, youth events, things like that. But when it comes to this kind of pastoral congregational conflict, many conferences say, well, that's not our role to play. And perhaps it's not. But what I'd like to say is our denomination has 28 fundamental beliefs, beliefs, teachings, values that we hold to very strongly or should. I believe the 29th fundamental, as obvious as it is, should be loving, humble, accountable, respectful relationships, because we need to, most people, when they leave the church, they don't leave because they no longer believe the Sabbath, most people. It's over conflict with other members in the church. And again, it could be the pastor. Well, whatever it is, it's conflict. It's they felt disrespected, unloved. We need a better way where we hold it as a value that we treasure each other enough to speak humbly, not be divisive, not go on gossip campaigns, not tear the pastor apart if you disagree with him or don't understand why he has to do things. There are many times in ministries where pastors have to make decisions and work with people, but they do not publicize all of that dirty laundry, so to speak, because out of respect for the person, they want to protect their reputation. They want to minimize things to respect them in the conflict, and they don't want to hold a trial which could split the church and just becomes he said, she said. The pastor knows things that much of the congregation doesn't know. And just like God has to do things in his discipline of us or working with us, God doesn't explain everything. And you know what? Conferences don't either. Divisions all the way up to GC, when they have to make decisions, And the constituencies of those entities, they're not told all the reasons why things happen. We are told to trust those in leadership and assume the best, not assume the worst. And if there is disagreement, you try to work it out in a good way, but pastors are not in a position to campaign for themselves or against members who are causing trouble behind the scenes. So many times it becomes he said, she said, you don't get anywhere anyway. I'm only trying to say we need a better system. We need to learn about spiritual and emotional abuse at all levels, member to member, pastor to member, member to pastor. When pastors are attacked in ungodly and unfairly ways and their families, it is so traumatic. There are so many pastors leaving ministry. And in our own denomination, we have such a shortage of pastors, and many of them, especially in the Caucasian ethnicity, say, I don't want to get caught up in the politics of church, the fights, and the abuse that pastors go through. So we need, I'm only appealing, let's as a church value humble, loving, respectful, and accountable relationships more. Let's make that more of how we operate everything. And when people stray from that, let's have a loving, redemptive path that we all buy into, and don't assume the pastor is just out to get people that he disagrees with. It's not about that at all. And they have their good reasons for that. We need to do something as a church to value loving, respectful, humble, accountable relationships and protecting our pastors in the midst of this, and not just letting them, the congregation, run them out and run them out of ministry because they're burnt out. And you could face just about anything when you have support. We need better systems in place and more love. And I don't know what the future has. There are days I feel so fatigued and worn out. My faith in Jesus has never wavered. I feel that God is a God of love, no matter what people do. God has a people on earth, no matter what people do. He has a church. It's flawed. Sometimes I contribute those flaws. I'm not perfect. I've had to say sorry many times, but I'm committed always to a process of growth and learning where I can improve, but not to go on destructive campaigns. But I just wish the church could protect us more and support us more during those times in our families. It's been devastating. We've got to keep loving Jesus no matter what kind of treatment comes.
That's right. Your story is so powerful. Your story continues to unfold. I know we didn't get into it deeply, but not only has your thyroid and sleep patterns been affected, but your health has been attacked so much that you were hospitalized for a long time. I remember flying in, visiting you in the hospital, and then guest preaching for you. And thankfully, you know, you got out of that. But when the body is under this constant stress, it's harder for the body to heal, to cope, to function. So I'm so thankful you can walk again. And that, you know, that part is healing. My prayer for you is that we can get your body out of that fight or flight, that your cortisol levels are not through the roof. And so I think once that happens, then we can use that energy to put together a think tank, some meetings, ideas to come up with a plan to support pastors and their families, gather resources, and see if at the church level they would accept it, this accountability and support. And if at the conference level, and then at the GC level, the general conference, for those who don't know the GC term. So there's all these different leadership areas, and it starts with talking about it, discussing it, coming up with strategies, solutions, Holy Spirit-led solutions, and then implementing it. Because ultimately, we really want our church members, our church families to flourish, for visitors that are coming in to see that, wow, this is a welcoming, loving place. Because anybody who walks in and sees that there is, elements of darkness, they're not going to want to stay and receive that light, because where is it if there's these darts being flown everywhere verbally? So I just challenge our listeners to think about, who are you talking to, or who are you talking with that is part of the problem here, and how are you standing up to shut it down? Are you entertaining what they're saying, or do you say, hey, that actually isn't biblical, your approach? I'm not comfortable with you even talking to me that way. It starts with you, the person that the person is trying to talk behind the pastor's back or family's back to. It starts with you taking that stand. Remember the Bible stories about Queen Esther going before David at the time, going against Goliath. People in the Bible took a stand that was huge. Their life was on the line. But you, church family, listeners, your life isn't on the line when you simply say a one-liner to hold space and support for your pastor and their family. And so really, you've got to just go out on faith that taking a stand is going to lead to beautiful fruits. You don't have to stay in the same patterns and behaviors that you've been doing for years. You can break free from that. It's going to take strength that comes from the Holy Spirit, but you can do it, and we're cheering you on. We have this redemptive process that we want you to go through, and we believe in our hearts that this is going to have beautiful, eternal rewards. And then for people that are not our members at the time, we just encourage you and invite you to think about ways that we could make what he was mentioning about a 29th fundamental belief or systems in place to support pastors. If you have ideas, strategies, we would love for you to please send them in. John, would you like them to email them to you or to me?
Oh, either way, whatever's more convenient.
Okay, what's your email address?
jnabbott, A-B-B-O-T-T, 7@gmail.com.
Yep, that's John. Okay, that's jnabbott with the number 7@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And my email address is echoandencourage@gmail.com. And John, what's one way that we can echo eternity or encourage others?
You know, Jesus, I love the name of your podcast, by the way.
Thank you.
Because what Jesus modeled and taught, he had to deal with some tough things. He had to confront tough things. But you know what? People who wanted to be worked with, he realized he had to make healthy boundaries. A lot of people say, well, Jesus forgives everyone. He does, but not everyone responds and accepts that forgiveness. He had to make healthy boundaries. But having said that, I keep loving these people, treating them with respect and courteousness, and no matter what they do, because they're humans made in God's image. And when you shun people and ghost them, and you treat them as less than God's child, less than human, you've sunk to a level that is no longer the beautiful level of Christ and the gospel and love. So you could need boundaries, but stay loving and respectful, even to those who disagree. No, not everyone sees things as you see them. And unfortunately, they may latch on to things that and behaviors that are harmful and divisive, hurtful, but still, love is the ultimate way. And I also have faith. I keep praying for supernatural breakthroughs, that God will somehow breakthrough where Satan, I think this is spiritual warfare. We're not fighting against the particular personalities that have held sway at this church for so long. There are demonic spirits that have an influence because people have given them that over the decades. And I'm praying that God deals with those dark forces, those spiritual forces that are the real issue. And so people can be free to ask Jesus for freedom and healing. And I believe that spiritual, supernatural breakthroughs can come. We realize that element is there that needs to be broken. And so they're free, at least, to see the beauty of Jesus and the gospel. And don't give up fighting for that freedom so that people can clearly see the character, the beautiful, loving, healing character of God, and freely be able to make that choice for him.
Amen. That's powerful. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. Thank you so much, John, for coming on the Echo and Encourage podcast. I'm so honored that you shared this with our listeners, and I pray that your ministry is blessed, that all of your hurt, wounded parts are restored, and that these darts are thwarted by the Holy Spirit's protection, and that God raises an army of his warriors to help us brainstorm ways to support pastors and their families throughout ministry. And so thank you for being a voice on this topic. Thank you for being brave in sharing this and for being vulnerable. I know God delights in you. He loves you. He sees you. He's cheering you on, and he wants breakthroughs to happen. I believe he's waiting for his people and people that are not there yet to say yes to him. So cheering on everybody to do this. So to our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. Leave your comments below. This video will be on YouTube. Also, the podcast audio version is there. Leave your comments, any follow-up questions you may have for John. You can comment them or you can email him. See you next time.
I love you, baby.
I love you too.